Thank you, praise team. Sometimes you can just get captivated by the Lord and just, you close your eyes in the midst of a worship service and you just want to praise Him. And then you realize that you're not alone. And then you listen to the voices and we raise our praise to Him. And as we continue our turn to 2018, a turn to praying to the Lord, right now, right here, together in this place of worship, we make a choice. And the choice we choose today impacts each of us. And those who are not here, and those who will join us in the future. The choice comes with consequences. The choice will make you vulnerable. The choice will change you. The choice can be simple and without hesitation. So what's the question? Will you pray today? Will you join the voices in this room today? And will you pray to the Lord today? Last Monday, we began a 40-day prayer journey for church revitalization and church renewal. And I hope that you started strong. How many of you are doing the everyday 40 days of prayer? How many of you have started? Yeah, very challenging this week. I know that every day, you know, I didn't overlook the study before we began it, and that was good. Because the first week has been about leadership. And it's been asking leaders, check your own heart. Check your own motives. Make sure that the Lord is in His proper place in your own life before you go and lead others. Before you give yourself to serving Him. And so I want to encourage all of you. We got books in the back there. You can begin today the 40 days of prayer for church revitalization renewal. If you weren't here, you didn't get a book, you can begin that journey together this week. I just want to encourage you to set aside 5, 10, 15 minutes each day. It'll get you back into connecting with the Lord. To have a time to pray together and read the Word and let God work. Well, today, as many of you are back from vacations and trips and returning back to your daily routines, I'm inviting you to listen and to participate in this worship service in a manner that might be challenging and spiritually awkward for you today. But it will be rewarding and maybe even refreshing. In a few minutes, I'm going to invite this church family to pray together. You know, last week we took the time during the invitation time to pray over individuals and pray over families. The leaders gathered and we prayed over, and it was good and it was wonderful and necessary. And it was a delight to see what God did in that time. Now this week I'm inviting this church family to come together and to pray together. When I examine the book of Acts over and over again, you can see the followers of Jesus praying together. Oh good, we don't have the mind. It's okay. Praying together or praising God together. And a lot of times, God empowered His followers to be bold proclaimers of the truth. United in love for one another. Sacrificially caring for the needs of each other. Healing hearts and healing bodies. Sending forth disciples and missionaries to go and to begin new works. Letting God show up in an amazing way to stand up against opposition, not because of revengeful hearts, but to stand up to proclaim the glory of God. And as they faced opposition over and over again, God showed up and delivered them individually, delivered them as groups, protected them, loved them, grew them. And so from the book of Acts, we learn these things about praying together. When God's people pray, God helps us to stay united. And when, this is out of Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And when they arrived, they went to the room upstairs. And where they were staying, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. And all these were continually united in prayer along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. When God's people pray, God helps us to stay united. The disciples had witnessed the Lord leave. Just a few verses before this, the Lord had said his final earthly words to his disciples. And he told them and gave them the command to go and to share and proclaim the good news about me and what I have done. And he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, go with it. Every one of us in this room, God has guided us into individual activities that we're involved in. From the jobs we do, or the families that we're involved in, the church activities, community service, God has placed each one of us individually in different coaching, a variety of different activities. And it can become very challenging and difficult sometimes. You can maybe even think that you're doing life and living spiritually, loving the Lord all by yourself. And God doesn't want that to be. You're not alone. And it can be easy for us to focus on ourselves. But when God's people gather together, He helps us to stay united, stronger. It is vital for us to remember to pray to one another. I like that our church has prayer requests. I like that we, in Tim's class, we take prayer requests every week. And then he sends out the email because I'm not in his class. And I know a little bit about what's going on. But even with that, that seems like that's not enough. Those individual prayers, those individual needs that are, you know, wonderful to hear and to pray and to go to God for, those are good, but it's not enough. God invites us to pray together so that we can stay united in the efforts that He is putting forth. It is important that we pray together. The world we live in is hard to deal with, and we need God's help with dealing with things. Listen to this will be the only time that I jump back in, but I want to share that this is out of Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all and anyone who had a need. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity and heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. When God's people pray together, God keeps us united together, and that's important. The second thing, when God's people pray, He helps us make wise decisions. From Acts chapter 1, 23 through 25. And so they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justice, and Matthias, and then they prayed, "You, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic service that Judas left to go to his own place." God helps us make wise decisions when we pray to Him, pray together. As a church, we need to pray for our leaders. When a church openly prays for their leaders, it opens the heart of the leader to God's guidance. It allows God's Spirit to work in their lives. Leaders need your prayers. Teachers need your prayers. Worship leaders need your prayers. Pastors need your prayers. Deacon needs your prayer. Every single leader in our church needs your prayers. Also, other leaders in our world need our prayers. They need God's very Spirit to come and to transform them to become godly leaders. They need the Lord to touch their hearts and touch their minds. We all understand that we are all human and we all have flaws. And we want our leaders to have the help of the Lord, to give them guidance and give them good decision making, to help them grow in godly wisdom and discernment, and to renew their love for the Lord. And the love for those that God brings to lead and to care for. The early disciples understood that they needed help from God to make decisions. And we do too. And as God's people pray and come together, God will help us discern how to make good decisions. R.A. Torrey says, pray for great things, expect great things, work for great things, but of all, pray. Prayer is vital in the efforts of what God is trying to do. Number three, as we read the book of Acts, when God's people prayed, God helped them serve Him boldly. From chapter 4, verse 27. For in fact in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Jumping to verse 29. And now, Lord, consider these threats, and grant your slaves may speak your message with complete boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When God's people pray, God helps us to serve Him boldly. I know my limitations. I know what I'm good at. I know where my areas of comfort are. I know when I'm being pushed out of my comfort zone, and I need to rely and need God to help push me, to grow me, to strengthen me, to give me the words to say, give me a heart that cares. I want you to remember today, as we pray together, God is with us. When the church comes together and we pray to God, God helps us to serve Him boldly because He reminds us He is with us to help us. God is with us. His very Spirit dwells in the heart of every believer. God is with us when He reveals a new person for you to care for and to reach out and to share His love with. God is with us when we need to stop doing this church activity so that we might focus on something that is more important. God is with us when we stand beside someone who is struggling through an addiction or a sin. God is with us. God is with us, and He is able to show us that He can do what He says He's done in His Word. When God's people pray, He gives us that spirit of boldness to stand and to go and do the things that He's called each of you to do, but as a church, what He wants us to do. Number four, when God's people pray, He empowers other leaders. This out of Acts chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. And they had them stand before the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the preaching about God flourished, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. And from chapter 13, He sent forth Paul and Barnabas to take the message out to the Gentile world and share about Jesus, and His Spirit went with them. It empowered them to take that message, to be bold. And as He did, new lives became followers of Christ. New churches were beginning to formulate. And God was glorified. I've had the opportunity in this church. I've almost been here 20 years. I've been on the side of it where the church gathered around me and prayed for me as God was calling into ministry. Those prayers were encouraging. Those prayers were anointing. Those prayers were a blessing from the Lord through the people. Because as one person goes forth and is empowered and goes and serves, the church celebrates. And as you go forth today into your workplaces and in your families and into your neighborhoods and your jobs and sports, wherever God takes you, and we pray together, when you go and you're faithful and God blesses what He's doing through you, we celebrate together. It is empowering to have a church to encourage one another and pray over one another. It encourages, it's supportive, it covers you with prayer. And all those things I've mentioned before, it gives you wisdom, it empowers you, it gives you strength. But you know that you're not alone. You have people behind you encouraging you and want to see you be successful. They want to see what God's going to do through you. And that's exciting. I've had the opportunity to pray over others. I've been on the other side where you know people and God is and working their hearts and says, you know what, Pastor, I'm really interested in this. I'm excited about this. And you pray over them and God is opening doors of opportunity and they begin to glow. They begin to shine and they get excited about what God's doing in their life. And you get excited because they're excited. And so maybe right now God is opening new avenues of ministry for you. And we come together and we pray together. We encourage you to let God lead you into those different areas of ministry. And it is exciting and rewarding and it's wonderful when God's people pray. He empowers other leaders, not just leaders and titles. He empowers His people to go serve. When God's people pray, He makes us right with Him. You might have said, why wasn't this first? Well, the thing is, in the book of Acts, as you go through the whole book of Acts, boom, 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 it's happening. But it's in this point, Acts chapter 8, verse 20 and 25, Simon comes and he sees what God is doing. And he says, I want that. I want that Holy Spirit. What can I pay? How can I pay for it? How can I pay for that Holy Spirit? And Peter goes, you can't pay for the Holy Spirit. That's God Himself. You can't pay for that. God, you've got to pray. You've got to repent. When God's people pray, He helps us get right with Him. We all need to pray. We all need to have God's forgiveness, and it comes through His Spirit. Prayer helps a church be aligned rightly with the Lord. It is a failure on our part to think that we can stay pure and holy without God's continued work in our life. When the church comes together to pray, God helps each of us align rightly with Him. And it's challenging and it's difficult. Because where one part might not be aligned, the other might be a part. We need each other to keep each other aligned. We need God's help to keep us aligned with Him, to love Him, to stay connected. Sin is icky. And it's terrible. And if one of us is struggling with something, it's going to impact not only you, your family, but it affects the church family. But God is there to help. And when we come together to pray, we allow that help to come more freely. When God's people pray, God helps us stand strong during tough times. This portion of Scripture is the story of Stephen. We call him the first martyr. Stephen was a man who loved the Lord and was willing to be bold. And as he was being questioned, why are you doing what you're doing? Matter of fact, quit. He couldn't quit. His love for the Lord allowed him to be bold and to proclaim the truth. And he stood up against tough times. He stood up against persecution. But I know each one of you stand up against tough times. That symbol of the Bible. People don't want to hear what the Bible has to say, even though that the Bible would change their life. When they would hear the good news and accept it and believe in it and let God, let that word permeate. I know that some of you are carrying burdens that are beyond your control, beyond your ability to carry them. God is with us. God helps us to stand strong when tough times come. And when we pray together, it encourages us one another to be strong for each other. God helps us stand strong. I'm encouraged by Stephen. Because even as Stephen was being stoned and he was being put to death, he was praying, God, would you forgive them? And I'm reminded of what Jesus was doing when he was hanging on the cross. Lord, would you forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. But that you would work through this tough time. Would you work through this gruesome time and bring people to yourself? When God's people pray, He helps us stand strong during tough times. I like this one. When God's people pray, He opens our eyes that He might want to do a new work. I phrased it different up there. When we pray to God, God begins new churches. I look at the book of Acts, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, their eyes were open. They prayed together. The church prayed together. And God sent missionaries. He sent people throughout the community to spread the word of God. And they began new churches. They began new works. Emmanuel is not always going to be who Emmanuel is today. It's not who Emmanuel was 20 years ago. Some God has called home. They got their victory. They celebrate with Him in heaven. Others He moved so that they could be a part of another ministry, in another city, in another country, to begin a new work. And God does that. So you take almost a snapshot today as we pray later on. You might not be here next year. God may open your heart and open your mind, open the opportunity for you to go forth and to begin a new work. God establishes new churches. We got a whole world that need to hear about Jesus. And God opens those doors. And when we pray together, it aligns our eyes to see that that's an important thing to do. To allow God to open up the opportunity for us to go forth and to start new works. And to see His glory and to see His ways. And number 8 today. There we go. You know, when the church prays together, we get the opportunity to see God bring new believers as they respond to His call into a relationship. It's awesome. It is wonderful. You know, a lot of times when we pray together, sometimes we can get so caught up in about, I hurt today. God, would you give me strength? God, I got to deal with this person at work today. Will you help me with that today, Lord? And sometimes we forget that God is in the process of working in building relationships between man and Himself. And it is exciting when we can pray together for the lost, for those who are going to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we pray together, it aligns our hearts and mind to see beyond the aches and the pains and the daily grind and see that there are hearts that God wants to change and transform into a renewed relationship with Him. A church that prays together sees every opportunity that we have when we interconnect with folks that don't believe as an opportunity for God to work through you. And to hear Him and to come into a relationship. Lydia is who I saw. Sorry, I think of our Lydia when I read that name. Her heart was changed by God and she opened her home to the disciples and they began a church. They began a Bible study and they began a new work. And that's the way the Lord works. Warren Wiersbe says this about prayer. Prayer is both the thermometer and the thermostat of the local church. For the spiritual tip goes up and down when the church prays. If you think of a thermometer, it monitors what your temperature currently is. Prayer indicates where our hearts are with God. It indicates whether you're on fire for the Lord, whether you're connected with the Lord. Is God working in your life? How are you praying? What's your prayer life? Where's your focus? And it works as a thermostat too. I'm glad for my thermostat because when I walk into my house, sometimes it's cold. And because the thermostat recognizes that it is cold, it kicks up the heat and the house can become warm. Prayer works like that too. When you become cold in your faith, when you don't want to hear from God, you're disconnected from God. God works in prayer. Because in prayer, we humbly come before the Lord. And as we spend time in prayer, as we talk things over with Him, He, well, for the lack of word, warms us again to what He has to say. And the other thing, Wiersbe said this, and I like this. The glory of God, not the needs of men, is the highest purpose of answered prayer. We sung all morning long about the glory of God. I love how worship services come together and you don't always know how. The glory of God, not the needs of man, is the highest purpose of answered prayer. That when God answers a prayer, whether it's the way that we want Him or not the way that He always knows best. And when He answers the prayer, it's for His purposes and for His glory, that we might praise Him and love Him even more. This morning, our invitation is a little different. In a few minutes, I'm going to invite this church body to pray together. Okay? I'm not going to ask you to stand because we might be doing this for a little while. Okay? But I'm going to invite you to pray. And you can pray silently or you can pray out loud. But I would encourage you to not pray for the applause of the people around you. But that you would pray and just open our hearts to the Lord. And so I'm inviting you, as I'm just going to list several different things to pray for. Will you pray for each one of these things? God is in the process of renewing us, church, and revitalizing our spirit. We're coming out of 2017, and sometimes you just kind of hit a low. And as we come into 2018, God wants us to see forward. God's got some new things ahead for us. And He wants to make sure that our hearts are aligned with Him. Renew that love for Him. And that'll come through our time of prayer. So, as we sit and we pray together as a church family this morning, I'm going to have every head bowed and every eye closed. Set aside things out of your hands so nothing is a distraction for you. And I'm going to lead us in this time of prayer. Church, this morning, would you silently or openly, would you pray for church leadership to seek God with their whole hearts today? Church, this morning, would you pray for a spirit of repentance to fall on individuals and the congregation at large? And I would just like to encourage, don't let sin go unexamined. I know that each one of us have particular things that we struggle with and we have difficulty overcoming. Today's that day where we can go before the Lord and pray for His help, pray for His forgiveness, that our hearts may be purified, renewed once again. Church, would you pray for a spirit of forgiveness to permeate the members so that those who may be at odds will be reconciled today? Lord, today I just ask for your help with this one, Lord. I don't know any specific person that I'm at odds with right now, Lord, but sometimes we say things or sometimes we do things and sometimes we forget to consider others. And sometimes folks have feelings that we're dealing with. And Lord, I just want to come before you and ask for your help too. That if there's any relationships that I need to work on, Lord, that you would be Lord over all that. And that you would allow forgiveness to happen. And if there's areas where there needs to be repaired relationships, Lord, I pray that you would be the repairer. I pray that your Spirit would help us to mend relationships. And I pray that you would help us to be stronger by being open and real with one another so much that we don't want to have ill relationships with one another, Lord. We want to have healthy relationships. And so, Father, today we ask that you would help us to have healthy relationships with one another and with you. Thank you, Lord. Church, I invite you to pray for families within our church to draw close to Jesus and to each other. Church, I invite you to pray for a spirit of humility to replace any pride that has risen. Church, I encourage you to pray for kingdom purposes to be accomplished within your life and through the congregation. Church, I encourage you to pray for a natural turning back to Jesus as the head of the church and all decisions. Church, I encourage you today to pray for a spirit of surrender to the Father's will, following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, have thine own way with our church body. Help us to be humble and to surrender ourselves to your guidance, Lord, that our worship of you would be pleasing, that our service unto you would be honoring to you, that we would reach out with your blessing and your backing. And finally, church, I want to encourage you to pray for lost people to be saved. Those who do not believe in Jesus yet, that they would hear the message, hear the truth, that God's very word would just penetrate their hearts and minds, and that they would be changed for eternity. Whether they join us or go to somewhere else that proclaims your glory, we pray that our hearts would be softened to see folks in need of the Savior. Amen.